This is the first Sunday in Advent, and as we prepare to make our way through this Advent journey, Advent, four Sundays, hope. Next week is the theme of peace, followed by the theme of love, followed by the theme of joy, and then on Christmas Eve, the lighting of the Christ candle with the other four candles lit as well. And the readings for the first Sunday in Advent, taken from the lectionary, focus on a hope, but it's the hope of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And some might pause and wonder, well, if we're thinking about celebrating Christmas as we're moving towards the manger, towards Bethlehem, why are we on this first Advent Sunday looking towards the future, looking to Jesus' second coming? And one of the primary reasons is that in Jesus' first coming, he inaugurated the kingdom of God, and that kingdom is expanding heart by heart across the globe. But Jesus' work in establishing his kingdom wasn't finished, it wasn't complete, and in Jesus' second coming, he will then fully consummate God's kingdom where there will be perfect peace, perfect love, and perfect joy, and perfect unity. So we are looking at the second coming of Jesus with that promise and with that expectation, realizing that in Christ's first coming, he has proclaimed God's love, and we look forward to his second coming as they come together to consummate God's love. The first reading lecturing reading for today is taken from Matthew's gospel, and it is in chapter 24, beginning in verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall all the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and the house would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man will come. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you know the joys and the burdens that we bring into this house of prayer. Speak to us gospel, speak to us good news into our hearts, that we might draw closer to you as we go forward in this Advent journey and far beyond. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, if you're puzzled by the reading that I just read from, I did not know this was the New King James Version on the pulpit here. So I thought, so if you're wondering, that seemed a little different than what you had in the pew. Always check out the translation before you read it. The theme for today from this passage of Scripture, there are three primary focuses. One is the promise of Jesus' second coming, the promise that his coming is sure and is certain. Good Christian people will have different perspectives on what that second coming will look like, but the Christian faith is united in the conviction that Jesus will come again. And from the promise of the sure and certain return of Jesus, from that first theme, then the second theme is the timing. We don't know when Jesus will come again. And from there, Jesus is calling us to be prepared and not fall into the trap of being unprepared for his second coming. Now, you may be thinking that it's been over 2,000 years since Jesus has gone up into glory to be with God up in heaven, and we're still waiting. How relevant is this passage for me today as I live my life today and tomorrow and going forward, since we don't know when Jesus will return? It may be another 2,000 years. Hold that question in your mind, because we're going to come back to it. Two friends were visiting over coffee, and one of them was very harried. Frenzied would be a better description. It was just a few days before Christmas, and she wasn't ready. Hadn't gotten the Christmas cards out, hadn't gotten the Christmas tree up. And in fact, the friend was complaining that Christmas was a terrible time because she was not yet ready for it. And her friend commented, "But my dear, didn't you know that it was coming?" I dare say many of us could feel the same way and would feel like we have been in that same boat. We knew Christmas was coming. We saw it everywhere. We had good intentions, and yet we ended up being unprepared. And as a result, we can easily be consumed by the demands of culture rather than the intentions of faith. Jesus is calling us to think about what it means to live a life prepared for his second coming, which can be seen as living a life that is as a faithful disciple of Jesus. They're synonymous. Advent reminds us that Jesus is not only concerned with our hearts and where they are as we prepare to receive him anew at Christmas, but also the condition of our hearts and how our heart is prepared for his second coming when he comes in power and in glory. How prepared our hearts are will be reflected in how we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourself. There was a church sign that read, "What would you do today if you knew Christ was coming back?" Good question. How would you answer that? And again, we're back to the question, do you even think that question is relevant for someone living in the 21st century? One person has responded by writing, "Christ is already here. We just don't recognize him. The kingdom of God is at hand, here and now. So what are we waiting for? Let's get on with it." In other words, what this person is saying is God is already with us. That should influence what we do, how we think, the choices we make. So let's get on about the business of sharing God's love with others and being a part of what God is doing in the world to promote peace, love, and justice, and righteousness, and all the rest. The question of whether Jesus is coming back tomorrow or not, therefore, may for some not be relevant in how they intentionally live out their faith. But I would like to challenge that a little bit by looking at it from this perspective. Jesus has made it clear that the kingdom of God is at hand. We understand that. That's not in question. And that we should be about getting on with the work that God has called us to do. Again, there's no discussion about that. That's a given. But if we think about it, no matter how much we get on with the work that God calls us to do in Jesus Christ, there's still going to be a lot of brokenness. There is still going to be a lot of anger. There's going to be a lot of bitterness. There's going to be a lot of shattered dreams. There's going to be poverty. There's going to be war. And no matter how much we are about the business that God calls us to do, those things are going to continue to be here until Jesus' second coming, when he comes again to fulfill God's kingdom here on earth, where every tear will be wiped away and death will be no more. So an Advent question to consider, when will there truly be peace on earth? When Jesus comes back. When will there be justice for all? When Jesus comes back a second time. When Jesus comes a second time, He will come to establish God's kingdom permanently and powerfully. So this brings us to the text for this morning. And Jesus begins by saying, "But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." Now, there have been a lot of ink spilled over speculation about when Jesus will return. And some have gone as far as to give a specific date, a day and time and year, and when that will happen. The fact that we are here this morning in worship talking about it says what? They were wrong. I think back to my trip to the Grand Canyon 10, 11 years ago, and that year, and that was in September. And in May of that year, there had been a very charismatic and popular Christian leader who had identified in his mind, using various biblical calculations, that Jesus was coming back on May 21st of that year. I think it was 2011. And so his followers sold their possessions. You don't need them if Jesus is coming back. Kind of gathered on top of the mountain, so to speak, and waited for May 21st to come and for Jesus to come back. May 22nd came, and they're still on top of the mountain. And the reason this is why this is doubly impressed upon my mind is that on the drive from the south rim to the north rim, where we were going to begin our rim-to-rim hike, there was 11 of us in the group, and we were getting to know each other, and it became, I think, fairly clear that I was probably the only Christian, and people were talking about what they do, and they come to me, and they say, "Well, what do you do?" "Well, I'm a minister." it's like, and of course, I knew it was coming. "Well, what about those Christians who were waiting for Jesus to come on May 21st? What's up with that?" And so I did my best to respond, and they were good-natured, and we had an amazing 7 days in the Grand Canyon. But on top of that, the guy who had predicted that Jesus was coming on May 21st, that didn't stop him from making a future prediction as well. And he's, fell flat on that remark. So Jesus says, no one knows the day or the hour in which he will come. And so that's a call to faith. The promise that Jesus will come, that's a given. We can take that to the bank, but we don't know the time that it will occur. But that is an act of faith. And one person has said, God gives us enough information that we need to live life, but he also doesn't give us the full picture as we live life by faith. And so Jesus in this passage gives us four illustrations about being prepared and what happens about not being prepared. He starts off with the example in the days of Noah. And he says, in those days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. There's nothing striking about the description Jesus gives about what people are doing. People have been doing that from the beginning of time. Eating, drinking, relationships of marriage and so on. It's a part of culture, it's a part of society. It's just part of ordinary life. No one is surprised by that. And Jesus is saying, as we live our lives in the midst of the ordinary days that we have, that's when Jesus will be coming again. And like those people who were not prepared in Noah's time, he is basically saying, don't you too fall into that mindset and be caught unprepared. For the Son of Man will be coming. The next two examples, again, common activities that the people in Jesus' time would understand. Two people working side by side in the field. Agricultural, nothing unusual, nothing surprising by that. Two women grinding meal together, again, nothing unusual about that. But when Jesus comes again, he says one will be taken, one will be left. In terms of the grinding of the meal, one woman will be taken, one will be left. And there's a lot of speculation about what that means in terms of those who were taken, those who were left. There's different conversations about that. We're not going to get into that now. Other than the emphasis is that Jesus has moved from, you don't know the time, but that's not an excuse not to be prepared. And then Jesus says, following those three examples, keep awake, therefore. And you know, the word therefore is always referring back to what he was saying. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Keep awake is the same imagery of being prepared. And then he moves into the fourth illustration. And it's a little bit different because those working side by side in the field, the two women grinding meal, the meal together, they have a lot in common. They're doing the same work, the same activity. They're probably in the same social circles. But here in this example, you've got the homeowner and you've got the thief wanting to break in. Obviously, the thief is an adversary. The thief is a threatening presence to the homeowner. And Jesus says, if the homeowner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed, there's that word again, awake, and would not have let his house be broken into. In other words, the homeowner values his house. And if he knows when someone is going to try to rob him to break into his house, he is going to be motivated, he's going to be intentional to be prepared to thwart the robbery. And then Jesus repeats again what he said, therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. I wonder how you would approach being ready if you truly believe Christ will come again and that his return could happen at any time. There's a story of an old man. And he had lived in his neighborhood for a period of time. And all of a sudden, every evening, just like clockwork, he would run out of his house, up to the edge of the street, and he would yell out at the top of his lungs, peace, love, righteousness. And he would turn around and he would go back into his home. He did this day after day after day. And finally, his next door neighbor was getting a little annoyed. He was starting to find it a little obnoxious. And one evening, as the man runs out and yells, peace, love, and righteousness, the neighbor goes out and he says, you fool, don't you know that yelling peace, love, and righteousness out here is not going to change the world? And the man looked at his neighbor and he said, well, it may not change the world, but it will keep the world from changing me. A picture of taking steps to be prepared. Now, I'm not recommending that every evening you run out and yell that and have your neighbors come out and say, what's up? But it is but I do want to encourage you about how do each of us continue to nurture and cultivate our faith so we live it out in such a way that we give evidence that we believe that Jesus will come again. Romans 12:2. That great epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. One Christmas, a woman gave her husband a computerized chess game. One night, he found himself shouting at the game, you idiot! He's talking to the computer game. You idiot. If you're going to keep cheating like that, I'm not going to play with you anymore. Of course, the computer had not cheated. It had simply made a decisive move earlier in the match that the man had not detected. And the computer had let him go on making his moves, some good moves, some bad moves, but the computer all the while edging towards the victory and winning the game, winning the match. And on this Advent, as we journey forward, what that illustration of the computer chess game making a decisive move and then the man still making his moves, good and bad, within the game. God has made that decisive move over 20 centuries ago in the incarnation, sending Jesus Christ from heaven to earth. God made that decisive move. It went by almost unnoticed. But that move secured the future, a move that guaranteed the outcome of God's plan and God's purposes. Meanwhile, God has given you and me the freedom to make our moves in this life. Some of our moves are hopefully good. Some of our moves may leave us shaking our heads and thinking, what was I thinking? That didn't go well. That was not bright. But God gives us that freedom to make those moves within the context of Him making His decisive move in the first incarnation, or the incarnation of Jesus Christ, and then moving towards Jesus' second coming with the outcome guaranteed and secure in His sovereign love. For all the while, God is carrying out His sovereign love to save and redeem sinful human beings through faith in Jesus Christ and the conviction that Jesus, when He comes again, will consummate God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus' call this Advent season, and really each day of our life, is to get ready, for the Jesus' call is a call to a sure and certain hope. Hope that is not wishful thinking, hope that is not pie in the sky by and by, but a hope that is grounded in the bedrock promises that God has given to us in Scripture and have all been answered yes in Jesus Christ. So how can we have this hope? Because God always delivers on His promises. God's timing is always perfect. God is in control. God is for us. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.